and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Got some interesting articles for you guys today, and I was just informed we're going to be bringing Dave Hodges on the show with us here in a little bit, so that's pretty exciting. How are you doing today, Dave?
Oh, Oz, I'm doing great. Every time I can have Dave Hodges on the show, it's always a blessing to us, and so we're excited about that, too. So it's going to be a lot of fun. It really is. I mean, Dave's going to be on with us with Skype here in a few minutes, and we've got some interesting new theories about the release of John Hinckley, the man who tried to assassinate Reagan. But, of course, now we know there were multiple shooters involved in that also. And, of course, the Patsy the Fall guy was John Hinckley because he's not really all there mentally. He's the one who was going after Jodie Foster way back in the 80s when all of this happened. And I must admit, Jodie Foster was very, very good looking back then. I'll give him that, but you can't be stalking people. But I guess he didn't know that she really didn't like guys. She likes girls. Her mom was a lesbian, and apparently Jodie Foster decided she's going to follow in those footsteps. So I always find that kind of interesting because Jodie Foster is one of the most gifted actresses in Hollywood. And some of the movies that she's done, she's been absolutely astounding and just amazing, amazing actress. So what's your first story for today?
Well, this is interesting. Now, this one kind of made me laugh, even though it's not funny. Rio now is actually, they're getting even worse response. The health experts are warning Olympic marathon swimmers, sailors, and windsurfers competing in the Rio Bay, where they just found another body floated and bloated in the bay, to be ultra careful as the waters are much more contaminated than they previously thought. And they're telling competitors in part of the aquatic event not to open their mouths at all while they're swimming because the water is so infested with fecal matter and they don't want them to catch any type of serious disease. You know, guys,
how can you
fecal
breathe?
Matter floating in the water, dead bodies. I think I would just pass this year on competing. That's just me, but I don't know what these guys are planning on doing because that's disgusting.
Well, they're basically swimming in a cesspool.
Yeah.
And, you know, and, you know, I mean, when you got to push the dead body out of the way to finish your lap, I mean, that's where I draw the line. I'd be, if there's a bloated body out there floating around and I'm seeing it, I'm just not jumping in. How about that? Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's what happens when you go to a third world country. You go to a third world country to do the Olympics, and of course, the Olympic committees are a bunch of, they get all bribed. They've been shown that it's all by bribery and blackmail and everything else they do when they determine these cities. And of course, Rio wants to be the big city now with the Olympics, and what a disaster this turned into. Oh, by the way, Turkey has ordered the shutdown of 130 media outlets, and it dismisses 1,600 military personnel. The Turkish authorities, this is from Russia Today, ordered the closure of more than 130 media outlets on Wednesday in a crackdown following July's failed coup. Reuters report, citing CNN Turk, some 1,600 military personnel were also sacked in the Turkish government's latest move. The Turkish government shut down of 3 news agencies, 23 radio stations, 16 TV channels, and 45 newspapers, and 15 magazines, and 29 publishers. Now, I'm going to stop right here because I believe that happened because Russia Today is also reporting it. But let me explain something to you. The CIA massively, massively, in the 60s and 70s, hacked into our media and put literally thousands of broadcasters on the air to tell lies. And they were on the CIA's payroll. This has all been released through congressional records. Now, the craziest part about all of that is some are saying that the CIA and NATO are the ones that led the coup against Erdogan and that he didn't do it to himself, but he knew it was coming. That's why he was prepped for it. Now, I know that he's had a huge rift with the CIA, who put him into power, and he probably wanted, in my opinion, more money for the drugs that they were channeling from Afghanistan, because now they're having to run through Africa to get that done, you know, to bring in the $1 trillion worth of heroin into the United States every single year. So this is a major, major mess going on in Turkey right now. And the sad part about it is the vast majority of the sheeple don't understand when you close media outlets down that are being run by the CIA, and you have CIA mouthpieces, he's probably trying to do that to protect himself, to get all of the misinformation and downright lies. Because remember what Casey said. He said, we will know at the CIA we have done our job with the American people when everything the American people believe is a lie. Well, that's how these guys do everything with all of their psychops that they use. So yep. I don't blame him for shutting down this media and making sure that he's got a cleaned up media over there. Austin, what do you think?
No, you're absolutely right, and that's we've seen that from the CIA now, and that's what they do. You start looking at the media. I brought it up last week on the show. There was an article online that I was reading about, and it was talking specifically how they use very, very subconscious psychological techniques in the media with the terms like breaking news and bright red. They always put these high body count numbers as the first number, and they always do it in a digital format. You know, 53 people dead, and they put 5-3. All these different little subconscious things they type in there, and they blast it over the screen, and they have the flicker rate that's constantly changing repeatedly. So you're constantly getting stimulated over and over and over again every couple seconds, so you don't lose your basically attention to it and go on to something else. And that way they can completely embed all this fake media that's all lies right into your brain, actually download it right into you, and you don't even realize it's happening. So, yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all.
Well, I personally think that we need to get all the CIA-embedded newscasters out of the United States, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and all, you gotta remember now, all these guys work together. If you didn't listen to yesterday's show, that's the show you need to listen to. I tied all the little pieces of these strings together and showed you how the whole thing's working and why the Democratic Party is imploding. So I'm not going to repeat that yesterday, because if I start getting on that rant, I'll go into 20 minutes. Japan has sent a massive monetary shockwave across the planet. It is creating a large upward price adjustment in gold and silver because it is saying this. It's a strategy designed to help their financial system afloat when fiat currencies around the world are collapsing under the strain of trillions of dollars. The Tokyo Commodity Exchange has now shifted their operations so that all trade settlements can be completed in physical gold. The move follows the opening of the Shanghai Gold Exchange, which is the East's answer to the decades of manipulated precious metals by a concentration of inside player Rothschilds. It's an open secret that the Western central banks and cooperating financial institutions have controlled the price of gold for years, Rothschilds. The opening of the SCGE and Tokyo's TOCOM shift should be a clear signal that Eastern governments like China, Japan, and Russia have had enough and are no longer willing to play a rigged game, and that they are preparing to allow gold to be freely exchanged on the open market in its physical form. Guys, if this happens, silver's already bumped to over $20 an ounce now. Now, whether it comes up or goes down, I don't know, but that's where she is now. And gold could go through the roof. Everything could go through the roof. In fact, everybody started to realize that the people in Germany and all these people have been manipulated by these Rothschild banks like Deutsche Bank are in trouble. Deutsche Bank's profits have actually plunged 98%, and they're saying the worst is yet to come. The latest confirmation that Germany's troubled banking giant Deutsche Bank is unable to navigate its troubled waters came on Wednesday when the bank announced that its second quarter income fell 98% from a year earlier, hurt by weaker performances in trading, investment, banking, and other core areas. The lender said its net income tumbled to 20 million euros, down from 818 million euros a year earlier, modestly better than the $22 million loss expected. Now, we don't know if they have a loss or not. They could have jumbled around their balance sheets to not show a loss. What is more troubling is that, as Bloomberg adds, the worst is yet to come. The biggest problem for Deutsche Bank remains its massive balance sheet. Morgan Stanley analysts calculated that Deutsche Bank has 9 billion capital hold to be filled by 2018, and that's not including damage caused by future litigation costs, which, considering a Deutsche Bank's record of pervasive capital rigging, are sure to rise. Plus, remember, they have trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars in derivative debt that are not doing real well. What's your next story, Oz?
Yeah, this is interesting. Now, officials with Health Canada and the U.S. Food and Drug Administration have given researchers in Quebec now the full-blown go-ahead to start testing the controversial new vaccine to protect against the Zika virus. And we talked about this last year, how they had already put the patent in, applied for the patent to start manufacturing the Zika virus before the whole Zika thing exploded on the news media, and they started talking about it every single day. What's crazy about this, though, is the researchers have already recruited a total of 40 healthy volunteers from Quebec City, Miami, and Philadelphia to serve as guinea pigs for the DNA-based vaccine. Now, DNA vaccines are said to be even riskier than traditional vaccines, so I don't know how they got these 40 individuals to sign on to this, but one thing you have to, if you do some research on it, the safety of DNA vaccines is a very big concern. Past research suggests that DNA vaccines, when injected, may cause insertional mutagenesis, meaning mutations may result due to the insertion of new genetic material into a normal gene. one of the greatest concerns about DNA vaccines is the adverse effects they have on the immune system. So, first off, this whole Zika thing has been extremely blown out of proportion. It was last year with the media, intentionally blown out of proportion. And then, on top of it, we found out later that months before the media even picked it up, that company out in India that's actually manufactured the vaccine now, they put in the patent for it before the media even picked up on it.
That's right.
So this whole thing's real weird, and now they're getting volunteers from Miami, Philly, and Canada all across the board like that. Makes me think there's something weird in the works with that. I don't know. What do you think about that, Dan?
Austin, it's all more money for the big banks and to own the pharmaceutical corporations. That's all this is.
Yeah.
The Zika virus never has been a problem, never will be a problem. Not an issue. Non-issue event. We talked about this at length last year. We had John Rappaport come on and talk about it this year. The whole thing about this Zika thing is it's just basically the pesticides and the glyphosate and the chemicals that these women are being doused with over there in Brazil that are causing all of this microencephaly. There's no link back to the Zika virus as far as from a statistical standpoint. So it's just more lies, more mainstream obfuscation lies. Remember, it was the lie of the month to try to obfuscate other news that was going on. And that's what they always do. If they can take the eye off the ball of what's happening, they can do that. Let me give you another example. We're going to be talking about this with Dave here in a minute. Well, two things real quick. IRS launches an investigation of the Clinton Foundation. I can hear my audience laughing in unison. That's right. Well, you know, didn't the FBI do an investigation on Hillary Clinton? Now the IRS is launching an investigation of the Clinton Foundation? I mean, whatever. I'm not going to read this. It's a joke. Here's another one. Reagan shooter John Hinckley Jr., I'm going to talk about this with David in a few minutes, will be released and will live with his mother. Zero Hedge, 34 years after trying to assassinate Ronald Reagan in 81, John Hinckley Jr. will be released from a psychiatric hospital and allowed to live with his mother in Virginia. On Wednesday, a federal judge granted Hinckley, the man who shot Reagan, full-time release from St. Elizabeth's Hospital in Washington, where he had been in treatment since the shooting. Judge Paul L. Friedman delivered the ruling Wednesday, granting him full-time convalescent leave to begin no sooner than August the 5th. According to WSJ, the 103-page order from the U.S. Why does it have to be 103 pages long? Order from the U.S. District Judge Paul Friedman said that Mr. Hinckley's doctors have found he has no signs of psychotic symptoms, okay, delusional thinking, or any violent tendencies, and therefore presents no danger to himself or to others in the reasonable future if released. The ruling means that 34 years after the attack that severely wounded the president and three others, Mr. Hinckley will be a free man, albeit with restrictions on his travel, communications, work, and the use of the Internet. He didn't know what the Internet is. Okay, unless he learned about it in prison, hospital. Hinckley will be allowed to live with his mother there, provided he still has regular medical and social work checkups, works for volunteers at least 3 days a week, and adheres to limits on his travel and communication. The judge's order also specifically bars Mr. Hinckley or his family from talking to reporters. Of course it does. Why would you possibly want an alternative news story to go out on that? What do you think about that, Oz?
Yeah, that's definitely interesting. I mean, I don't know, man. It just gets kind of crazy after a while when you start hearing about this stuff over and over and over again. You know, it all, I don't know, man. It just gets wild after. I mean, just, I don't know. It really is. This is a new issue now in Illinois. They have now passed a bill basically one step closer to forcing pro-life medical communities to choose between violating state law or violating deeply held religious beliefs. The state house approved Senate Bill 1564 and set the legislation on the governor's desk. The bill would introduce decisive changes to the Illinois Healthcare Right of Conscience Act. It would require pro-life medical providers, including 51 Illinois nonprofit pregnancy centers offering free services, including ultrasound and STI testing, to take action. The bill's opponents, it builds requirements that every Illinois pro-life medical provider of any kind who chooses not to perform an abortion will either have to directly refer the patient to another provider or directly transfer the patient to another provider. One way or another, the law would compel pro-life medical providers in Illinois to participate in abortions in some way, shape, or form. So Man, this is, it's getting crazier more and more now. It doesn't matter if you want to deal with it, if you don't want to deal with it, it's coming now. And this whole abortion thing is really, really sad to me now, especially that I have a kid. It just keeps going further and further and further down the line where it's almost like they're going to start requiring to be done like they do in China now. I mean, where does the line get drawn? Where do we have to stop this, Dad?
I don't know. Dave Hodges, you're with me right now, right?
I am with you right now. Hi, guys.
Dave, go ahead and answer Austin's questions. Where does the line on abortion get drawn? We started it in 73, and we've been doing it ever since. Where does the line get drawn, Dave? How do we stop this? How do we make the people realize the sanctity of life?
Well, I'm very sorry to tell you this, but we are living in a society that has absolutely no rules, so there will be no lines. We are being ruled by decree, and the decree will come from the global elite, and the whim will move them to how they push us.
Wow. Well, you're right. Basically, the herd mentality. They want to have some massive thing happen again and push us in a different direction. Dave, what do you think about the fact that Hillary is having to pay people $50 an evening, make them wear Democratic lapels and pins and hats to come in and fill up the convention center after everybody walked out during her acceptance process when all the Bernie Sanders people got up and left? What do you think is happening to the Democratic Party? Do you think it's completely imploding? Do you think they'll still be able to do the Diebold election voting fraud? What do you think, Dave? I mean, we know that her groups, when she would go speak, she'd have a couple hundred people show up if she was lucky. Donald Trump would have 30 or 40,000 people show up. I mean, how can they possibly pull off a major election fraud and give this election to her? What do you think, Dave?
Well, boy, I'll tell you, that's such a multi-part question here. We could be here till next week answering that, but let me start simplistically. I've reported on a Stanford University study that followed the Democratic primary with Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. And in states in which there was only a paper ballot used, the polls predicted the outcome, and Clinton's victory or defeat matched exactly what the polls said. But in states in which they used the electronic machines, the Stanford study said that Clinton gained a 9% advantage. And then it's interesting. This was actually in the study in the comment section. I never have seen this kind of politicized opinion in a research study, especially from a university like Stanford. And in there, they also noted that two of Clinton's campaign contributors were the two biggest electronic voting machine corporations. So, you know, there's going to be massive voter fraud with regard to what's coming. And I think we can say the baseline for this figure, guys, is 9%. Although I have a feeling they're going to ratchet this up. I really believe Trump has to win by 20% to carry the election. That's what my estimates tell me. And let me give you a couple other reasons why. We will have massive locations in this state, in the states that don't require the showing of identification before one votes. So we're going to have unregistered Democrats, illegal aliens, voting in droves for Hillary Clinton. And then, of course, you're going to have the voter fraud associated with Illinois. That's historic. And we're going to have voter fraud that's inspired by George Soros's people, MoveOn.org, and so forth. I estimate, again, 20% is what Trump has to win by to carry the election. Now, how many elections have been carried by 20%? Not very many.
I don't even know if Reagan won by 20%. Did he against Carter?
You know, I'd have to go back and research that. They call it a landslide.
Well, he won Reagan. I think Reagan took every state, if I remember.
It was pretty much
every state. I mean, I may have been a few short, made sure on the real Democratic states, but Reagan pretty much took all of it. And so I know that Ohio, Florida, and Virginia have the biggest problems with the Diebold election machine fraud, and they only try to swing key precincts in those major states to try to switch those states over to the, you know, the Democratic Party. They've done that repeatedly. They also did that with George Bush when he became president back, I guess, in 2000. But the craziest thing about all of this stuff is that, you know, these guys, they seem to have no moral compass at all. It's all about manipulation. Like you said, we're being ruled by decree. We no longer live in a republic. We basically have a corporation with a president, and we have a group of a group of leaders, you know, through the Bilderberger Group and through the Bank of International Settlements and through the Rothschild Banking Cartel and all of these guys that kind of pretty much, you know, the Bohemian Grove boys pretty much tell us what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. And it's really sad, Dave, because the country that we've had as a constitutional republic is pretty much defunct. It's gone. And now that the Democrats have run out of money to take from the rest of us, now they're fighting over the scraps themselves, and they're having a complete implosion on the Democratic Party. It kind of blows my mind. Today, we were having some guy do some concrete work for us, and it was interesting because I told him, you know, the guy's a Christian. This is one, he's a black guy. He's a Christian. And here's the thing that's interesting about this. I don't understand how black guys can be Christians, love Jesus, go to a holiness church, spirit-filled church, and then turn around and vote for Hillary Clinton. And they were both Democrats. And I finally told him, I said, you know, don't you understand she's a fourth degree witch? You know, Larry Nichols said that she had to go to her coven every single 6 weeks to head up the coven in California. And she basically is probably involved in human sacrifice and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. Now, I can't prove that because I wasn't there. Thank goodness I don't want to be there. But the point is this, do you really want somebody like this running the country who's this evil when you're a Christian and a believer? And he said to me, Dave, he goes, I don't care what her personal life is. I don't care if she's a witch. I don't care if she's a blood drinker. I don't care. The only thing I care about, if it's going to be good for the people of the United States, and what he meant by saying that, the black folks, because he said black folks always vote Democrat. Now, that absolutely blows my mind that we have an ethnic group like the black folks that regardless of Hillary is, even if they're Christians, they're going to vote for her. I remember the same thing. I had a black guy working out with me for many years here at the house. He worked out here with us about 7 years. His name's Van Green. And he said the same thing. This is back in the back when George Bush was going into the White House. And he was going to vote for Gore. And I told him, I said, Gore's pro-abortion. Remember, he's a preacher, right? He's an AME church. Nice guy, great guy, good man. Good man of God, great guy. But he told me he's going to vote Democrat. And I said, I don't understand this. I don't understand this. And then I have another friend of mine, Rodney Howard Brown. You guys have all heard of him. He has a big church over in Tampa, and we visited him last Sunday. And it was interesting because normally he has about 70% black folks in his church, and he has pretty much cleared out the black folks by talking about Hillary from the pulpit. It was probably 20% black folks in his church, which I thought was very surprising because I thought, wow. But I guess there's some kind of social thing, Dave, that's happened with these folks. From a black standpoint, they don't even realize that the Democratic Party is the ones who founded the Ku Klux Klan. It was the Republicans with Lincoln who supposedly freed the slaves in the Emancipation Proclamation in the southern states. And so they don't get all of that. They don't understand all of that. And the Democrats are the ones that voted for Margaret Sanger, who basically said that black people were monkeys and they all should be exterminated. I mean, it's the craziest thing I've ever heard, that these guys aren't aware of this. Why are they like that, Dave? Explain it to me.
Well, I think it's very simple that the mainstream media has done their propaganda job, and they have convinced black people through the message of the DNC that white people are victimizing them even today, and that the only way out of this subjugation is to have someone like Hillary Clinton from the Democratic Party save them. And it's total propaganda, and we have, you know, the terms white privilege have surfaced
and so forth.
We all have our life struggles. And rather than looking inwardly and saying, what could I do better in my life to improve my lot? You know, it's easier sometimes to look externally and start making excuses. And that's what the Democratic Party has provided for black people. Excuses. It's all white people's fault that you are where you are. Well, I want to point something out in contrast to this. When we look today at the employment figures, we have 101 million Americans of working age who are not full-time employees. A lot of these people are black.
That's right.
And a lot of this damage has been done in the last 8 years under a black Democratic president who I've accused Obama of selling out his own race.
Well, no, I agree with you. And so, but the problem is, I guess, when you have somebody who's been so brainwashed, in fact, I can't just pick on black people. Gosh, white people are the same way. I've spoke to multiple white people that are Democrats that are voting for Hillary when they find out she's a witch. They don't care. And, you know, but most of the white people who are voting for Hillary, and I'm going to say this very clearly so everybody doesn't misquote me on this. most of the white people that I've spoken to that are voting for Hillary are not Christians. Now, I said that very simply, okay? But most of the black people that I've spoken to that are voting for Hillary claim to be Christians. Now, that's the big dot, that's the big change, that's the big strange thing for me, because if a Christian is voting for a pro-abortion candidate or for a witch or whatever, you know, it doesn't make any sense to me. But I understand that if they're a heathen, if they don't know Jesus, if they don't want to be a Christian, or if they're agnostic, or if they're atheist, then if they're going to be a Democratic follower, okay. But the sad part about this is that the vast majority of these other people who claim to be Christians, the blacks, and there are some whites that are doing it too, but very few that I found, are going to support Hillary no matter what. It doesn't make any sense. I don't think they understand, Dave, both the blacks and the whites that are voting for Hillary, that there's a certain point in time in a socialistic economy that we saw with the USSR that it stops being able to feed itself, because there's such a huge disincentive to work and such a huge incentive not to work and to get free stuff that nobody's out there minding the fields or tending the flocks or the barns or the fields or whatever, and sooner or later everybody runs out of food, like happened in the USSR. I mean, Russia has really turned it around in Russia, but because of the communist influence for 50, 60, 70, 80 years over there, 100 years, it's been horrible trying to pull the people back into a mindset of wanting to work and not get free stuff and free handouts. That's why Russia, the roads over there are absolutely the disaster. They tell you, don't even try to drive from St. Petersburg to Moscow. It may take 2 days, where it should take a few hours, because the roads are so bad and the checkpoints are still set up all over the roads. I mean, I don't want to live like that. They said to take a private, take a plane if you're going to fly from St. Petersburg to Moscow. That's what happens under socialism. Sooner or later, the entire infrastructure falls apart. Austin and I were at the Kazakhstan naval base back in 98 on a cruise from St. Petersburg, Dave, and almost all of the ships that were at their moorings in Russia had rusted and had sunk at their moorings at the docks. They were all, like, you could see the masts sticking up. They were all sunk all over the place. I mean, literally dozens and dozens of frigates and, you know, and small warships were all sunk, just sunk. And that was the same time that that submarine sank out there up in the North Sea, and they couldn't rescue the guys because they didn't have the technology to do it. So I don't know. But you said you want to talk about Hinckley now, and let's talk about some of that stuff and some other stuff you want to talk about, Dave. What do you want to discuss with that? Because you said you just wrote a new newsletter and you want to toss it out to me today. Let's go over that, why you think there's a reason why they released Hinckley right now, and that was to send a clear message to Donald Trump about a possible assassination. Let's hear your reasoning on that.
I think there's no question that this is what's going on. I mean, we've seen Hinckley now incarcerated, gosh, for over 3 decades, going on 4 decades. And why at this critical point in history, when Trump is on the verge of pulling the biggest political upset in American history and actually threatening a political and social cultural revolution at the same time, why now? Why release this assassin of Ronald Reagan? And I think it's a thinly veiled threat to the Trump campaign that we can get you anytime, anywhere we want. And I think this was a clear message. Now, if this would have happened a year ago, I wouldn't be saying this. If it happened a year from now, I probably wouldn't be saying it. But right now, at this point in history, the timing is suspect at best. And when we look at the in fact, I'm going to lay this out. You know, Mike Adams and I talked about this on Sunday night on my show, and we both agreed on this point. Trump's greatest danger is after he's elected. That's when an assassin is most likely to get him, and we laid out a variety of reasons. But let's lay out the history of major assassinations since the 1960s. They all contain exactly the same variables, and Hinckley is part of this. First, you have the assassin of John Kennedy, lone nut assassin with a diary saying what he was going to do. Then you have the assassin of Bobby Kennedy, same thing. Then you have the assassin of Martin Luther King, same thing. And then Hinckley and his well-noted private diaries saying he wanted to kill Reagan. People believe this fiction. I want to sell them some swampland in your home state, Ted. But they said that he wanted to kill Reagan to impress actress Jodie Foster.
Yep.
Lone nut assassin with a written track record of what they were going to do. And also, what did we see in the Dallas police assassinations? Lone nut assassin with a manifesto. It just never ends. They never get tired of trotting out the same old strategy, the same old BS. And I'm telling you right now, when you lump all these together and you add in the fact that the Bush family and the Hinckley family used to socialize together, you know, we don't have a coincidence. I mean, Pappy Bush was involved, according to Russ Baker in his book, you know, Bush Family Lies, and then you've got Jim Mars saying the same thing, that Pappy Bush was involved in the assassination of John Kennedy. So this is not new territory here, and I'm telling you, Donald Trump is in a great deal of danger, particularly if he's elected.
Dave, you know, we know the CIA and the Federal Society and a bunch of other folks have really stacked the congressional elections in order to gain control of Congress. If Trump gets in, can he rule by executive decree? Can he get rid of executive orders that Obama has put in without, because once they go into the law books, is it, how easy is it to get rid of them? And also, is it a possibility that Trump can actually do something with the Congress and actually change some of these laws? And will he need congressional approval to build a wall across Mexico, or can he do that by executive fiat?
Or do you know? By executive fiat, because the House of Representatives is the source of all appropriations, and they could cut him off at the knees. I mean, he could have an executive decree, we're going to build a wall, but he might be denied the money to do it. You're raising a really good point, and this is something I've talked about. If Trump is elected, his first 2 years will constitute the greatest gridlock in American history. And what Trump needs to do, and my humble opinion is this, is that in his first 2 years, he needs to go on television every day and talk about two things that need to happen. Number one, we need to have a congressional law passed that makes it a felony for all corporations to donate to any political campaign. That's number one. Number two, he needs to sound the drum that all political positions have to have term limits on them, and that law would have to be retroactive. In other words, he has to get the people to get the corporations out of politics. He has to get the people to clean house on Congress. Then in his second 2 years, with a brand new House of Representatives and a one-third of the Senate that's brand new, then and only then will he be able to start making meaningful reforms.
Yeah, but Dave, the Congress is never going to vote. They're never going to vote themselves out of office, neither the Senate. I mean, these guys have got these lifetime jobs, and they're all millionaires after they get there, it seems, except for maybe just a few of them like Ron Paul. And these guys are never going to say, hey, I'm going to vote myself out since the CIA put me in with the Federal Society. How in the world are they going to get them to even vote against them? I mean, gosh, Dave, they say that for a couple of years they get a lifetime pension and, you know, and health insurance and everything else.
I know. But Ted, you have to understand. If the people are convinced that we've got to clean house and you vote out all the incumbents, that's how the change will happen.
Well, or Trump could say, you know, we need in 2 years from now, I need a clean slate. I need a bunch of new people in Congress. You know, we need a bunch of new people that are patriots to be running for Congress. And you guys need to go ahead and get your congressional candidates. If they're not voting the right way, you need to get them replaced. You could do it that way, but then you have to deal with all the election fraud again and all the major congressional races. So it's going to be an interesting next. It's like I said the other day when I was on Hagman's show. If you're bored right now in your life and you're awake, I don't know what it takes to get a spark and you get you going, because this is some crazy stuff that's happening everywhere. And sadly, you know, all of us are in a situation now where literally the future of the United States of America, as we know it, is hanging in the balance. If we have 8 more years of this Obama fiasco, this George Soros fiasco, this Rothschild fiasco, and these globalist fiascos. I mean, look what Angela Merkel has done to Germany, Dave. She has destroyed the country. I mean, she is so hated in Germany now, but she doesn't care. I'm sure she has a huge, huge property that's down in Argentina somewhere, and she'll be moving out of the country as soon as she leaves office. I mean, this whole thing is just nuts to me, and it's hard for me to believe that this is not going to be able, that there's not going to be a stopping point. When are they going to try to break up the country, Dave? When are they going to try to put us into our FEMA districts and basically handle us individually and get rid of the actual Constitution? Do you think that's going to happen if Hillary wins?
I do, and let me tell you why. Not so much because Hillary wins, although that could be a trigger event. But here's what they know. You listen to us talk about all the what ifs here, and they pile up like the Great Wall of China.
That's exactly
maybe
right.
Hopefully someday like the Great Wall of Trump. And what we've got here is an irresistible force meeting an immovable object. And there is really, and Steve Quayle says there's no political solution for what we're going through. And I really agree with Steve on this point. I'm telling you what this is going to boil down to. Without divine intervention from above, we are going to have a civil war, and you can take that to the literal bank.
Wow. Well, the problem is the Democrats don't believe in guns. They don't know how to use them. It's kind of sad, but it's true.
Don't count on that.
Yeah,
the biggest Democratic city in the country, Chicago, has the highest gunshot homicides.
That's all minority crime on one another. But the crazy thing about it is that, you know, the sad is this, is that, you know, it's going to be, if the military gets involved in it, then the game's over, because there's no way you can fight against the technology and the weaponry and the psychotronic weapons and all the stuff they have right now. If they decide to crank up their Gwen towers and start putting all this horrible frequency into the atmosphere to change everybody's opinions and to make everybody depressed, they can do it overnight. They can do it within a matter of minutes. They can start all this stuff.
I'll tell you, there's one problem with that supposition. It's this. The government, or this establishment in particular, already knows they're going to meet resistance from the American military, and major units are going to change sides. And the proof of that, and I write about this every month. I make sure I have one article that includes what's called Unconventional Warfare 16. Technically, it's Jade Helm 16, but I have the BizOp ads for the positions for the actors they hired and what they're doing in this drill that's going on in Texas at four different bases as I speak, is they are practicing guerrilla warfare against rogue American military units. So I do not believe the American military as a unified whole is going to come after people who are dissidents. You are going to have many American units are going to say no and hell no to standing up for the New World Order. They're going to defect.
So you really believe what's going to end up happening is we're going to have the Civil War is going to be also the military fighting the military?
I think most of the military will eventually defect. Maybe not at first, not all at once. And then we'll be taking on the UN, which goes back to Obama's executive order and his views legitimized by what he did on July 1st when he said that we can call in the UN to subjugate the American people.
That's right.
And then UN documents came out at the same time and says, congratulations to the United States. They become the 29th nation that'll let us go in and kick butt on their own people.
Well, no, it's insane. I mean, I've covered that on the show, and it's one of the most secretive things I've ever heard. Not one mainstream outlet ever picked up on any of that, because they don't want us to know that we have basically been signed off against the United Nations to come in here and subdue us, is what it's saying. And they can bring all of the different armies from around the world, the Chinese, the Russians, the British, the Germans, the French, whoever they want who's part of the UN, to come in here and fight the Americans on American soil. I just hope and pray that they're not going to be able to get these other troops from these other countries to come in and do this, unless it's just a giant mercenary army, which they could bring in anybody they wanted to, which is what their modus of operandi has turned into in a lot of different countries that they've subjugated, is they just use the Blackwater Boys, or whatever they're calling themselves now, to come in and just kill people, because they're just mercenaries. Whoever pays them, they fight.
Let's go back in time, and you're absolutely right. Let's look at what DHS and every federal agency did about 5 years ago. They acquired massive amounts of ammunition into the billions, way more than we even use in our foreign theaters of operation in Afghanistan and Iraq. So they are preparing for a civil war. That is civil war preparation. Make no mistake about it. And academia is what I think Blackwater is called today. It's hard to keep up with them because my opinion is, to escape criminal prosecution, they keep changing their names because they've been involved in some really nefarious things. They were accused of child sex trafficking, for example, in Iraq, all kinds of financial improprieties in Iraq. And so they were called Blackwater then. I think they've changed their name twice since then. I can't keep up with them. But yeah, you're right. They're a rogue organization. They were the ones that did the gun confiscation of the innocent citizens after Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. And we're going to see these people victimizing Americans in a civil war. But I want to say this, and this is probably the most outlandish thing that Dave Hodges has ever said on the air, because I am a person of God and I'm a person of peace. But the Bible also allows us to defend ourselves and our family. The American people, when you see these blue helmets that are coming to our shores, you must view them as people who will rape, pillage, and murder your family, because that is their history. That was their history in Rwanda, and I can name several other places. When those blue helmets appear in your country, it's prima facie evidence that that is the enemy who wants to kill you. And Americans need to react in self-defense and react accordingly.
Well, this is exactly what Lincoln did. Lincoln basically just, you know, he couldn't conscript enough people in the North, so he started bringing the Hessians in, the German mercenaries, to fight against the Southerners. And the crazy thing is, some of the Southerners, when they would take some of these people prisoners, they couldn't even communicate with them because they only spoke German. So, yeah, with that was a real mess, because these mercenaries have been used in times of war since the beginning of time. That's what they do. They get paid to kill people and break things. So you're absolutely right. When the blue helmets are coming in and patrolling the United States, we realize that the country has been completely seized by a foreign dictatorship or foreign power, the international banking cartels, and these globalists that are running the show, so to speak. So what are we to do?
Well, when the FBI comes to your door, I would treat them with respect. And, of course, I would never talk to them without an attorney present. And let me mention this real quick, too, because this is why Martha Stewart went to prison, not for what she did, but what she said. They can take you and put you in prison if they say you lied to the FBI or any other federal official. And they can lie about that, too, and get away with it in court. That's been proven. So people never should talk to federal officials without an attorney present. Ever, ever, never. And they'll tell you, well, it'll go much easier for you if you talk to us now. That's not true. They're trying to trick you so they can throw you in prison based on what you say, not what you've done. But if the FBI comes to my door, Ted, I will still treat them with respect, honor, and dignity, and I'll respect the authority of their position. When the blue helmets come to my door, they're going to be met with extreme prejudice.
Wow.
And every American needs to send that message right now.
Well,
300 million gun owners.
Well, look what Trump did. Trump asked Russia now, Dave, to find Clinton's missing emails. This is from the Miami Herald. In a surprising call for a foreign power to use its hacking abilities to get involved in U.S. presidential election, Donald Trump on Wednesday called on Russia to find Hillary Clinton's missing emails from the time she was Secretary of State. Russia, if you're listening, I hope you'll be able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing, Trump said to a room full of TV cameras at Trump National Doral. I think you will probably be rewarded mightily by our press. Trump said he hopes Russia does have her emails. Clinton's lawyers had turned over work-related emails, but deleted thousands for what she said were about personal matters. There probably have more than 33,000 emails that she lost and deleted, because you're going to have some real beauties in there, he said. So let's see. I mean, you think...
Hey guys, I got to cut in here real quick. The phones are blowing up at the office. Nobody can hear the show. Everybody's calling in and saying our show is dead. There's no sound. They're not hearing any of us talk at all.
Oh, wow.
But I got to kind of give you guys a heads up on that. I just got busted in the door real quick. Like, three people called up and Mom just called up. So we got to see what's going on with Todd. If he knows what's going on. Can you hear me, Todd?
Already looking into it. Yep. And
okay, so we're not live right now.
Yes, we are.
Okay, but nobody can hear
it now. Yeah, there was a cut... fiber line, and I'm working on rerouting it as we speak.
So we're live again?
As far as I'm aware, we're back up. I'll check it again. We were just a second ago.
Dave, you and Austin go ahead and talk. I'm going to go check with Mom real quick on the cell phone to see if I can hear the show. You guys keep on going, okay?
Okay.
Austin, sounds good. We'll keep it running.
But yeah. Austin, let me share this with your listening audience. In a worst-case scenario, the great Global Star Radio Network, we'll get this up on archives. I mean, it'll be heard one way or another. But what's interesting, along these lines of what's happening to us in the present moment, I was getting ready to conduct the first non-mainstream media interview with Ammon Bundy at the height of the Oregon standoff. And 30 seconds for he's to come on, and I'm just getting ready to introduce him, his communications go dead, and both of the satellites at Global Star Network that carry my show went offline. Our listen by phone went down. That's a totally independent system. That went down, and we couldn't even produce an archive show. Now, fortunately, we got around it the very next day, and we did an emergency Skype interview. But, you know, if people think that us being taken down is an accident, think again. They don't want these things talked about at this point in time.
No, you're absolutely right about that. That's why as soon as I heard that, I was like, I got to bring this up on the show because I don't know what's going on. We got to get it fixed. But no, you're right. I mean, the problem is when we start talking about this stuff and we start really exposing what's going on, you know we're on the right topic and we're pushing some hot buttons. They don't want this stuff getting out on the air, especially with all the listenership that you have and Hagman has, that we have. All this stuff is starting to get out now, and a lot of the American population is really starting to wake up from what I've seen. Of course, we still have some of the interesting individuals that are just all pro-Hillary, but from what I've seen in the last probably 4 to 6 months, there has been just a change in the entire attitude as far as what people really want and who they're planning on voting for. And the only reason that's happening is because of the independent media like us, because we know the mainstream media is not doing anything but just trying to feed the population just the spoonfuls of crap that they want them to believe, like that Hillary needs to be president. So, yeah, it's interesting. We see stuff like this go down, but you're absolutely right. I don't think it's by any accident whatsoever.
Well, you mentioned the mainstream media. That's very, to me, that's an all-encompassing term, and I agree with you with one exception, Fox News. And this is a good time to bring this out. I talked about this when I was on Doug Hagman's show with Steve Quayle on Monday, and what I have learned is that Donald Trump met with Jerry Hall, the wife of Rupert Murdoch, and Rupert Murdoch himself at Trump's golf resort in Scotland back in June of this year, and they cut a deal. Now, here's the proof of this statement circumstantially. Everyone knows that during the primary, Fox was right there with CNN in the persecution of Donald Trump, unfair debates and so forth. Mm-hmm. And now they can't say enough good things about Trump, about his kids. By the way, his kids are impressive as heck. But they can't stop gushing. Now, let me tell you what's behind this. In Trump's acceptance speech, he mentioned, and I'm paraphrasing now, that energy companies won't be encumbered, they'll be able to develop what they want to develop, and so forth and so on. What I know that happened in the 2008 election, and I was told this by someone in DHS, and I was told this by someone also who serves in the DEA, he said it's common knowledge among top officials, is that Sarah Palin was chosen by John McCain for one reason and one reason only. McCain wanted the support of Citgo and the offshoot groups of Dutch Shell Oil, of which Rupert Murdoch is a part of, and they wanted the North Shore Alaskan oil to be developed, which is why Sarah Palin was brought in. Well, the old part of the New World Order, because there's actually two factions, there's the Nouveau Riche and there's the Old Guard, and the Old Guard, led by the Rockefellers in this country, said no and hell no, we're not going to let you have this. And of course they threw all their support behind Barack Obama, and he wouldn't even approve the Keystone Pipeline. So when we look at what's going on now, Rupert Murdoch has cut a deal with Donald Trump for favorable Fox coverage and basically call out the New World Order. They've told him, from what I understand, he can even use pejorative terms like the globalist, which he's begun to do. He sounds like us.
That's right.
He sounds like he's in the independent media.
That's
so
right.
When we look at this now, I want to make this really clear. Fox News is the only media outlet that's going to give Donald Trump any kind of favorable coverage right now.
That's
the
right.
Rest of the mainstream media, oh, his speech was dark. Well, let's talk about speeches real quick. Obama's speech last night, I could categorize in one term, one phrase, in which everything is fine. You know, we don't need to panic. You don't need Donald Trump. There's nothing to fix. Everything is great. Really, 101 million Americans who don't have full-time, 101 million don't have full-time employment. $19 trillion debt. A $1.2 quadrillion credit swap derivatives debt. A $240 trillion unfunded mandated liabilities debt in Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, etc. And we don't have any problems. Is that right, Mr. President? Unbelievable.
Well, you know, I think here's what's going on, in my opinion. I don't think that Donald Trump is an individual. I think Donald Trump is a movement. I think that, it's like Austin said a few moments ago, in the last 6 or 8 or 9 months, more and more people, Dave, have awakened, and they've said, wait a minute, I'm not going to put up with this crap anymore. We don't want a witch in the White House, a liar in the White House, a thief in the White House. I mean, Bill Clinton looks like he's dying of AIDS. He was shaking so bad in his speech the other night, incoherent, babbling some of his sentences and his words, and he's reading off a teleprompter. He looks unbelievably medicated and sick. He looks like he has full-blown AIDS to me. He's lost so much weight. So we've got a couple of people, and remember, he's the same age as Donald Trump. This is what's so ridiculous about the whole thing. And the nuttiest part about all of this is, guys, you know, it's not about the Trump presidency or Donald Trump as an individual. It's a movement of restoration of the constitutional values of the United States and bringing back nationalism. That's what this is, Dave. That's why it's bigger than Trump. That's why it's so huge. That's why he's bringing 30, 40, 50,000 people into these rallies. What do you think, Dave?
No, I totally agree. Excuse me, I said that if Trump were to be assassinated, the movement would not stop. In fact, actually, I think
you're right. And I personally think, between me and you, that either one of his two sons, after I heard them speak, could pick up their dad's mantle if he becomes president and has it for 8 years and keep it going in the same direction. I really believe that could happen. I thought the first guy who spoke, his oldest son, was phenomenal. Then I heard his next son, he was just as good. And they're all saying the same things. They want our country back. We've had it hijacked by the globalists and all of these guys who remember the way that it used to be and what free enterprise really is and how good it used to be and how wonderful Ronald Reagan was and how wonderful John F. Kennedy was. We want it back. We want the country back. We want the strength. We want the nationalism, and we want the unity back. This whole breaking us up into these divisive groups is why the Democratic Party has blown itself apart. I mean, it's all a bunch of groups fighting against each other, trying to get the last scraps off the table. It's ridiculous, Dave. What do you think?
No, I agree. The divide and conquer strategy originated with the globalists has actually taken roost in the Democratic National Party, and it's serving to destroy it.
That's exactly right. What do you think, Austin?
No, he's right. I mean, it made me think a minute ago when you were saying about the movement. It reminded me of kind of how Ron Paul had a small movement like that he was running. But the problem is Ron Paul wasn't direct or assertive or aggressive enough as Donald Trump has been. And so Donald Trump has pulled a lot of those people, because there were a lot of them with Ron Paul the same way, the same ideas, the same concepts. They wanted to bring it back, but Trump has just been so much more charismatic, and he's younger, too, and that was kind of the thing with Ron Paul, is a lot of people were kind of, you know, a little scared of that with him. But, yeah, I think he's pulled a lot of the same people.
A lot of this started back with Goldwater. I mean, it really did. And that's for those who can't remember, the young guys, he was way back in the 60s. And he basically started talking about all of the same stuff we're talking about, what's going to happen to the nation. And everything that he tried to tell us that was going to happen has been happening. And then we had the Reagan Revolution, you know, 20 years later. And now we're having the Trump Revolution, you know, 30, 40 years later. And I tell you what, guys, I think the people in the United States have finally had enough with 101 million people unemployed or partially, part-time. Everybody's realizing that something's really seriously broken, but yet we still are giving out hundreds of billions of dollars in foreign aid every single year. I mean, it's nuts. Like, I just saw a video the other day how the president of Africa down there, the dictator they've got in charge, just spent $300 or $400 million on an aircraft. And we gave them hundreds of million dollars in aid. I mean, he took like all the money we gave him, bought him a big 747 and decked it out. I mean, this is just nonsense that we continue to give this money away. Dave, what do you think about all the foreign aid to all of these different countries and how we can possibly consider that's okay when the United States is as broke as it is?
Well, I think Trump said it best. He said it's time for these countries to start paying their fair share.
That's right.
I don't care what endeavor it is, whether it's military, economics, whatever it is. I agree. And boy, he got criticized for that in many of the Democratic speeches that have been given this week, that he expects us to turn our backs on our allies. He didn't say that. What he said is they have to pay their fair share, and they do.
Well, no, Germany. It's like Germany. I mean, Germany has been protected by, of course, Germany is a vassal state of the U.S. after the treaty they signed, but in 1945. But the reality is, I mean, we've completely supported NATO, all of NATO countries. We're the ones that supply the military, the bases, the armament, the personnel, everything. And these guys have skated on us now being the world police people for the past 70 years. And Trump is absolutely right. It is time for us to reel this mess back in and let these guys be responsible for their own fate. And if they want us in there, they need to be paying for our costs and our fees of having our troops and our armament there. What do you think, Dave?
Amen to that. You're absolutely right. No further elaboration needed on that point. But we do need to elaborate on one thing, Ted. As you know, I'm a big, big supporter of Health Masters at healthmasters.com. And let's tell them about our special we have with regard to Dave CD Set. Go ahead, Ted.
Yes, right. Right now we've got a special on. It's called Dave CD Set, and it's like for two more days is all it is. And when you order anything from Health, when you order $200 worth of stuff from Health Masters, you get
Maximum Success CD series.
I did it 10 years ago, and it's a three-dimensional lifestyle program that takes a person through a systematic process on basically changing where they are financially to become successful three-dimensionally, both body, soul, and spirit, financially, everything else. It teaches you how to budget money. It teaches you the causes of failure, the causes of success, and how to basically cater your life in a way that's going to attract success towards you. It's a phenomenal program. We put it together. It's only on for how many more? A couple more days, right? Off until tomorrow, I think.
I think it ends Sunday.
Yeah, it's on Sunday. And so you guys, make sure you do it. It's called Dave CD Set, and you'll get that CD set when you come on, when you order the $200 worth of stuff that's on the show. And so, Dave, I want to thank you. Our music is going to start in a second. Thank you so much for being on. Dave Hodges' Common Sense Show comes on after my show on Sunday night from 8 to 9 Eastern Standard Time for 3 hours. Phenomenal show. Katie Whalen's his co-host. Phenomenal lady. She just was cured of cancer by natural protocols. So, Dave, thanks for being on. Austin, let's go ahead and close. Austin, I hear the music playing.
Got it. Yeah, guys, we appreciate it. Sorry if you guys are tuning in later here, whatever's going on with our Global Star. Hopefully we get it back up and running. If not, we'll have it on the archives. If you guys need anything, give us a call. Shoot us an email. We'll always be here to help you guys out. Healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.